Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
You think he was cheaper?
I guarantee he was cheaper.
Well, he can be cheaper because he's executive producer, so he makes the money on the back end.
Well, yeah. Doesn't he make money on both ends?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like the owner of the radio station doing the gig.
That's right.
Damn it.
According to an official statement. This is it. This is coming from him.
Steve Bridges should play on the Jeopardy host.
Oh, I'd love that.
Potent Potables for 200.
Oh, my God. When he was working on her face, did he have the picture of Jennifer Love Hewitt up next to the surgical table when he was doing that? I'm just kind of curious about it.
He went, he found the guest, he galloped back, she caught up. Then
I have a great idea.
What's that?
Have the guest ride him here.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show. We are enjoying our second decade of the show that has become a daily routine for thousands of listeners in great places like Maple Grove, Minnesota, Barcelona, Spain, Exeter, New Hampshire, Jackson, Tennessee, Boulder, Colorado, and Aruba.
Right.
Organstad. Orgenstad. Anyway, I'm having a bad day. Sorry, I'm having a bad day. I'm 10 minutes out of the chiropractor's office, all right? I'm not happy.
Yeah.
I'm not happy. I lost my effing wallet. Mm. I'm not happy.
Are you sure the chiropractor didn't take it? That's what they do, you know.
Listen to this.
Listen.
Hey, listen.
After I go into the chiropractor's office, this is after the whole debacle, saying to the lady at the front desk, I'll pay you in cash. I don't have my my wallet with me.
Cash.
And my wife gave me cash. Okay. All right, don't turn it into that. All right, you know, it's like, yeah. Well,
I didn't mean it like that.
Because,
I'm saying most
because all I had
walk,
to do, because all no, I had to I'm do ma- was go down to the vault, right, Oscar, and open the gold bricks.
Walk around with cash. You just don't.
I don't walk around with cash.
Most people don't.
No.
It's not what I was talking about. Oh, Jessica Kirsten is going to join us right now. It still didn't. We still weren't able to do it.
No, you're right. You're right.
We still weren't able to do it.
We ponied it. We ponied it.
We still. What the f***? Seriously.
Hi.
What the? Jessica, how are you?
What happened just now?
Jessica. Rob, how many years have I been in this business?
Oh, God. 40.
Almost 30?
No, more than 30.
Almost 30. Before the show, I say to the guys, I say, I'll get my text out.
Please.
All right.
And and then I'll give Jessica a proper introduction.
Yeah,
which
that was weird.
It was because we are and have been every support person I have ever worked with has been a moron when it comes to guests. An absolute moron. Pony, you have no idea.
I have to throw this incredible one squarely.
And Oscar, did you hear Oscar when he was explaining it to me and how dumb that sounded too?
I have to place this
so
one squarely
ridiculous.
On Pony because we stuck to the plan for the first 80% of the plan. And
Jessica,
then,
I will give you a proper introduction in a second, but I'm sorry. House cleaning is essential. All right.
I'm because fine this, with it because that was horrific.
Right. This was.
So take as much time as you need. That was the worst thing that ever happened
today,
to me.
Today, at 1:06 p.m.,
yes.
2 hours before we take.
Correct.
Right.
Please remember to wait for the guest. I like to have my pre-show with just the team, so let's do it like a real show and start the show and then introduce Jessica.
Yes.
Then I come in here. So that's straightforward.
Yes. Yeah.
That means you're waiting outside, you're introduced, and then you come walking in. Then I arrive, and I start the pre-show meeting with Oscar going into this thing that I didn't even understand, which is, well, she's waiting just to be sure, just to make sure we know what we're doing.
Well, Mike, before you get there, I wrote to the team, not you.
Yeah.
I said, hey, guys, come to my office at 2:30 so we could walk through what's going to happen with the guests today.
Right.
How many years, Rob, has this podcast been on the air?
We are in
over a decade.
Yeah, over a decade. We started
over
in 2009.
A decade. Prior to that, how long was my radio stint with CBS?
From, well, if you go all the way back to when you started.
20 plus years.
Yeah, 20
plus. 20, 23. I'm talking about, we're talking about getting probably being in the business about 40 years. I've done
right.
this.
Right.
Yeah. We have, I can't stress enough how frustrated I am.
I had the big conversation before the show, not for your edification, but for the our production staff to say, do we all understand what's going to happen?
This is where it fell apart, and this is where I have to really lay it on Pony, because everything was going
loss.
Right.
It's a team loss.
But he brought the guest around.
He's done going anywhere near a comedian, an actor, anyone.
I agree.
A hot dog eating champion. His ass no longer deals with it.
I'm that
and
too.
Oscar,
now you're going to be really upset.
Your loyalty is, I know your loyalty is great, buddy.
Yeah, yes.
But now it's on your ass. All right? Because you've kept this guy. You've got, no.
I love getting people.
No, we're going to do a little more than this. I'd like to really just have some sort of liaison. How many podcasts do we run at Podville in Washington, D.C.? In downtown,
over
beautiful,
60.
Shiny yeah. new 60. Studios. Where would you handle the Bush podcast like you just did this today?
No, I would not.
Well, okay. But he wouldn't assign Pony
to
the Bush contest.
I don't let Matt anywhere near anything that is, means.
I've lost my wallet. I just came from the chiropractor, and I'm having a bitch session in front of a guest. Let me introduce you, shall I?
Oh, yes, please.
This is one of the funniest humans working today. And DC's very lucky to have her tonight. Jessica will be this weekend, Jessica Kirsten, at the legendary DC Improv. One of the best things about entertainment in Washington, DC, in my opinion, is the Improv. I think it's one of the most special locations in DC. I've loved it. We've performed there. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. It's a pure comedy club. Jessica, you've been there a bunch of times, haven't you?
Oh, at the DC Improv? Years, years, years and years. It's,
great room.
It's an amazing comedy club. Amazing.
It really is. You can get info and tics at jessicakirsten.com. Also, look for her in the coming weeks in Morris Plains, New Jersey, Boundbrook, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. Emas? How do you pronounce that? Emas, Pennsylvania?
Emaus.
E-M-M-A-U-S.
Mouse. Yeah. It's German. It sounds like German for mouse. Mouse.
New York City, Phoenix, Boston, and Austin. You're on a tour. You're
yes.
having a little post-COVID, but in the middle of COVID tour
yep.
is what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. And we had Jessica on to talk about that amazing documentary, Hysterical. We welcome Jessica, and it's nice to have you in the studio. Welcome to my anxiety.
Thank you. Mike, now I have a question. Is Pony the guy that just walked us to the studio?
Yes.
Okay. He didn't walk. He leaped. That I have never, ever seen someone walk that fast in my entire life.
Was it
life.
A gallop?
It was, well, he 1 foot was still in the office where I was sitting, and 1 foot was in this studio. I've never seen someone have 2 feet go
He's
that
a
far
a very
apart.
Nervous boy.
Yeah. No, he has a stride. It's a very wide stride. Has he ever hurdled?
He's a little man. He's a little man. He's thin.
He's thin, but he's fast. I'm like, honey, yes. I'm heavy. This is not going to work. I'm still all the way down the hall. I am... You're in the studio. I mean, it's, you got to give me a minute to get where you are. This is really.
I shake my head.
He would have gotten gold medals in the Olympics. He should really be an athlete. I mean, seriously, he's fast.
I shake my head. I really do. I don't. Oscar explained to me right before airtime, these are our new digs in Washington, D.C., that the conference room, which I guess, Oscar, we're using as a green room.
Correct.
Is that,
yes.
Is that what we're doing? Is on the other side of the building?
Correct.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. And how many shows, how many podcasts tape with maybe an occasional live guest?
Now?
Yeah.
Roughly.
Maybe us?
No.
No, I'm talking about like when we're up and running, we bring somebody in. Wouldn't we be the only one
We'd
that does that?
We'd be the only ones.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it behoove us to maybe have like a little, closet with a cheese platter, next door?
We have one right.
A staging
we
area.
We have one across where I am right now. I didn't want him to have the guest and the team back there with him to distract him, so I put them in the conference room. Yeah.
Rob, I'll let you take over.
You didn't want to distract him?
Yes.
Rob, I'll let you take over here because
I would have loved some cheese. I mean, really, let's forget about him for a second.
That would be a professional way to do
really
stuff.
I would have really loved a piece of cheese. It's actually professional.
I don't think you understand
Well, then why don't you enlighten me then?
We have three conference rooms.
Yes.
Matt can't work with people around him because he will mess something up, and I love him for that. But he's my guy.
So is his workstation in the conference room? No, he has an office right across,
like on the other side of this wall, across the glass that is large enough with couches where people can wait and watch the show, and that's where a guest would traditionally be if they're going to come onto this set.
However, we cannot distract Pony.
Yes.
And because
are you being serious with me right now? Is this really the truth?
Yes. He is. Like,
he will get distracted and something will go sideways.
Yeah, it will.
What's happening?
I don't know.
I'm sorry. It's good to see.
Yeah, Mike needs to know. That's all it is.
Pony almost got it right, but here's where having a guest screwed us up. He went, he found the guest. He galloped back. She caught up. Then he made eye contact with me.
I have a great idea.
What's that?
Have the guest ride him here.
But
I'm just trying to. This is real time.
This is where it screwed up. He made eye contact with me through the producer's window as if to say the guest is ready to go.
Good mic technique, too. That's really good as I'm hearing the mic's wide open, too. Just listing it today. Just really getting to. Go ahead. Continue.
And so
I'm sorry.
I gave him a nod to say, OK, I know that you're there. And then he threw the door open. Without waiting for you to say, our guest is here, which is the one thing we laid in concrete before we started the show today.
It's also been, 15 months since we've actually had someone outside our world sit down that didn't work here?
Yeah, we've done all of our guests on Zoom, and we're very happy to have
person again.
That's great. I mean, and you've got to be doing it too, Jessica, right? Traveling around the country and visiting
the
protocols.
That's why you think it's the first time there would be cheese. But anyway...
Yeah. I get fed up. I get a little fed up, but it's I understand. It's been a day.
Yes.
And
it's okay. But I'm here, and I'm so happy to be here with you guys.
Look at her.
The last time we were here, we did some serious business of comedy, and we talked about your amazing documentary, Hysterical. But the stand-up you've done. And I think would I be overstating it if I said that your signature move is kind of what I'm doing right now, although you're a lot funnier doing it. I'm having a therapeutic moment right now. You do self-therapy, which I think is the greatest single innovation with stand-up when you will be in the middle of a set that is going, I think, magnificently, and something will trigger you where you turn your back to the audience and you will just do this therapy analysis thing where something has triggered you. How long have you been doing that?
Years. Thank you, Mike. Well, that means that you're smart and you're aware. Because sometimes people don't get it. And when I see their faces like surprised or confused, I die. It actually makes me horny. I love seeing a confused face when I turn around. So to the people that don't know what I'm talking about, I will literally turn my back to the audience and like bend over and have an internal monologue with myself. Like,
it's fantastic.
It doesn't matter that the guy in the front isn't laughing. He's not your father. You're projecting on him. He's probably miserable. He hates himself. Stop eating to deal with the feelings. You know, like I'll have a whole. And then a lot of times I'll turn, and of course there's some people who don't get it. Like they can't go there because they're dumb. You know what I mean? They have no idea what's going on. And I just look at them. I'm like, I'm so grateful I'm not you. Like I am so grateful that I am aware in life and I am not you. And, you know, most people get it. And most people say, it's my favorite thing you do. Like, I so get it. I'm always in my head. I always talk to myself. And I mean, when I first started doing it, it didn't get laughs because you have to do it at certain times because when I'm killing and the crowd is dying laughing, I don't turn around and do it because it doesn't make sense.
Right.
Okay. But like if I feel very, if there's a weird moment during the set or if a joke, if I do new stuff, that's been happening a lot because I've been doing a lot of new stuff and it doesn't kill, I'll turn around and be like, you know, you always expect every joke to kill. That's new. It's a new joke. It's not going to do as well as your old stuff. You're unrealistic. You sabotage yourself, you know.
It's so much fun.
And people will scream laughing because it's real.
It's real.
Yeah.
And when you do this, I mean, what I did, and this is real. I love these two guys on either side of you. Make no mistake about that. I truly do. I think
all of us. And Matt, you do love Matt, you, Pony Boy. You love him.
Let's be friends.
Yeah, you do.
So anyway, I love these two guys on either side of us. And for me, I would say, especially in the last 5 or 6 years with this this vehicle, I didn't think there was anything more intimate than live radio until we started podcasting and doing this. It's just more relaxed and it's just more intense, if that can be true at the same time. So I find this show therapeutic to come in and really, really vent, especially in this world we are living in right now, where I realized last night that I need, I think it was George Carlin who once said he just needs one little thing to go wrong. It might have been some other comedian. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But it was in my case, I live in Florida. My son, I have an 8-year-old son who is going to school in Florida. And we are ruled down here, our king. Our king in the country of Florida is a maniac king who is fighting against anything that would keep my son safe.
I know.
So counter that with in my area of the kingdom, we have a transmission rate that is off the charts. So I'm one of the people that actually lives in an area like this. And I've handled it. And I've handled the first day of school and I've handled all this. And then yesterday, I lose my wallet. And
that was the
tipping point. Yeah. And I have been in a funk depression. And is your mother, by the way, is your mother still practicing? Yeah. Is she still a therapist?
Yeah, she's incredible.
Do you have a card for Mike?
She's unbelievable. I'm not kidding.
I have my own down here.
Okay, good.
She's a healer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But she operates out of her house, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Comics that see her and she doesn't tell me who they are.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
And they have told me, but she's that private where she hasn't even told me. I mean, they've reached out to her because they've just seen her in my stuff or they know of her. But yeah, she's unbelievable.
I've noticed that lately Freddie Roman has been a lot more balanced.
He died.
Oh,
that's why.
Way to go. Way to go.
But it was fairly recent that Freddie Roman died. He hasn't been dead.
Freddie Roman. Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't use Jackie Mason with that one.
That's true.
I mean, oh my God.
Bob Hope has really been doing great.
I want to tell you.
So it's still, look, I'm living a life. You're on the road now. Yeah. And how weird is it with the travel? We were cruising. This was all, you probably set up your dates. With the thought that everything's chugging along, and now here we are. How are you doing? Emotionally, physically, all that?
I was doing well, and now I'm freaked out. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm freaked out. I was just telling Allison, the owner of the Improv, who's absolutely incredible, very good.
Hi, Allison.
Oh,
I haven't seen her in years. Hello, sweetie. Hi, Allison.
God, is she amazing. And I ask everyone to support the DC Improv. It's just an unbelievable club, and I'm so excited to be here this weekend and come out to the shows and keep going out to the DC Improv. They're so good to me and every comic, and it's such a beautiful club.
It is.
And, you know, I told her, like, I just got an email today about something that was canceled in New York in 2 weeks that I had. And it's like, the shows have been packed in New York and you have to be vaccinated to go to a club in New York. And I was shocked that it was canceled. And I was, it's weird.
It's weird.
But I have a ton of road gigs coming up and I'm freaked out about it. No, I'm not freaked out about traveling. I'm freaked out that it's going to get canceled again because I'm going to go out of my mind if I have to be home and not be on the road because I'm used to doing it for 22 years. But I also have this fear, you know, I have a daughter with heart disease who has had 3 open heart surgeries and a stent. Mm-hmm. She's 5 and a half.
Right.
Now this Delta variant, I'm like, oh my God, now what do I do? Like, is this going to keep spreading? Can I go on the road? What? It's just all crazy.
Scary. It is nuts.
It's
you know,
it's
I don't,
it,
look, I think that, I've got a great example. I don't know how many people deal with this in their lives. Michael's best friend has parents that we've had multiple contacts with, not socially, which is interesting. I think we may have attempted to. It hasn't worked out. I'm not quite sure why. Maybe I do know why. And they are of the, they had to sign a form to opt out of the mask requirement down here for the school system that my son attends. And so I'm sitting here going, well, how angry do I get? And how invasive do I get? You want there's the part of me that wants to pick up the telephone and say, hi, so-and-so's dad. You know, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you? Mm. But it's the way it is. It's the world that we live in right now. And I don't know. It just seemed like it was different 10 years ago that we didn't have this this massive divide in America.
I thought in Florida they couldn't have a mask. I thought kids weren't allowed to.
This is
here's
great.
The way.
You can clarify.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I will clarify what happened down here. So the governor, Ron DeSantis, decides that he is going to issue a ruling, an executive order, that schools and governments are not, local governments are not allowed to mandate masks in schools.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks so much. I still go, you know, it's the same reason they're taking cruise ships that are requiring vaccinations to court. I don't ask me to explain it because I'm not capable of explaining it other than I think it's truly pandering politics is what it is.
It
He's
is.
Pandering
yeah.
to
yeah.
this. So the health department, I believe it was the, I don't know if it's the local or the state health department, but the health department has a ruling that if there is a transmission rate over a certain percentage, they can mandate a mask with the option for parents to opt out. And that's what they did. My as soon as that email, by the way, two nights before my son attended school, that email comes through and I see my wife put her fist up in the air. the things you celebrate. It's like, yes, they have to wear masks there. And then I asked my son, and I think within the county I live in, it is 10-11% of parents who have taken the time to go online, fill out a form, and opt out so that they can put their children in school without
it's
a mask.
Really amazing.
It's insane.
It's unbelievable.
It is. It's hard to wrap your head around. Even if you were had a certain ideology, you know, I don't understand why you would put your kids on the line
selfish.
Like that if there's even the slightest chance. I've heard all the arguments. I've heard the arguments about it doesn't matter. You know, the masks, it's going to get in there. I believe that they work. I think they've been proven to work. But I consider it an insurance policy. And it's craziness. Sorry to bring this up again, but I mean, I know it's on everybody's mind right now.
Because
you know?
It's enraging.
It is.
Mm-hmm. It's enraging. It is.
How are you coping? How are you coping with all this on the road, dealing with all the extra anxiety of this thing?
Just starting. Like that, meaning I feel like this is my first week of going back out on the road of this happening now. I personally can't watch it all the time on the news because I'm not going to be okay. So I have to just kind of hear about it and then just plow ahead and take it, you know, day by day, week by week, and see what happens. Because honestly, the truth is, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if everything's going to close down again. I don't know if maybe it'll be crazy for a little while and then go back to, you know, normal. We don't know. So to get in my head about it and get crazy is not helpful.
Jessica.
I know.
There's the therapist. Yeah, it's
I
like,
know.
How does that make you feel? Well, I don't think it's healthy for me to talk
it's
about
not,
it right
because
now.
Because I don't know what's going to happen. That's the truth.
Perhaps in some small way, I'm projecting my own anxiety on
but
Jessica.
But boy, is it tough because I have a sick kid and I know that's depressing, but that's real. That's the truth.
Real.
For being on the road or interacting with people, was it when we first were able to take our masks off because everyone's, at least within our circle, was getting vaccinated. To see people's faces again was strange.
I mean, it was great when they're attractive. When they're unattractive, it was very upsetting. There's some of my friends I was really grateful they were wearing a mask because it made it easier to be around them.
It's just sitting there. I'm thinking of like a, you know.
I'm like,
sort
Joe,
of-
could you just put that back on? Because I was enjoying it.
I know a great dentist.
People with halitosis, close talkers, or anything like that. It'd be a good opportunity for a dental prosthetic.
Enjoying not smelling hot dogs while we were hanging out. But,
Hey, I wanted to ask you about, because I know nothing about it, so I wanted to ask you about the prank call album, The Call Girls.
Yeah.
Do you just make random calls to people? And I'm a big fan of that kind of comedy.
Oh, you're going to love this. Yeah. So, no, during COVID, my friend Rachel Feinstein, who's an incredible stand-up comedian, she's my sister in this business. We were so depressed during COVID. My father passed away from cancer, not from COVID, in May.
Sorry. Yeah, that sucks.
I mean, in April, right after COVID started.
Wow. Oh, I'm
and
sorry.
She had a baby and her husband's a fireman. You know, it was just crazy. We were both so depressed. We're like, let's make prank calls and make a prank album. So for
months, we had a clip.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So for months, I'll send you a clip and you can.
Yeah, we'll play it on the show.
Yeah,
we will. Get it,
and
right?
For months, we recorded them. You know, video recorded and made this prank album and we call businesses and every call has something to do with COVID. Well, at least we mention it. And some are more than others. Like we called a massage parlor as two old Jewish women and we're like, we'd like a socially distanced massage. And the woman's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, we want to go, but we don't want the man to touch us. And they're like, she's like, you have to be. I'm like, does anyone there have very long arms? 6 feet long.
Hey, as far as the, when you talk about older Jewish people, did you truly perform for elderly people on the in the Florida area? Have you ever done that?
Mike, are you kidding?
I didn't know.
Hundreds
I don't know.
Of
I don't
times.
Know.
Like,
she's performing
I
for one
done...
now.
I have done.
That's funny. That's funny. How about we get the guests to come in at the right time, okay? God damn
yeah,
it.
Yeah, pony.
All right.
Oh, I'll give him a carrot.
All right.
I have done so many of those. I get them all. I just got another one for February. I do them all the time. And I say most of the crowd, you know, they're a good crowd. Most are 80, 90. Some have passed.
In the crowd.
Yeah. Some have already passed. They just sit them there, like Weekend at Bernie's. They just sit them in the crowd. And sometimes you won't hear a sound. Sometimes you're just a clearing of the throat. And you know, someone's alive. Someone is, and they yell out. They heckle. Actually, if they don't, this is horrible. What is this? Who hired her? I haven't laughed once. So what's happening?
If you do a lot of these, what jokes play to the 80 and 90 year olds? What is their forte?
You know, sometimes you have to say old jokes. You know, like what did the waiter say to the group of Jewish women sitting in a restaurant? And they're like, "What?" And you're like, "Is anything okay?" You know, those jokes go over.
Do you have a repertoire of that kind of? Because
I mean, when I'm bombing, when I'm like dying, and I want to eat a live pig, I'll take one of those out.
Because they're tried and true.
I'll throw one of those out there just so I can not kill myself after the show.
Oh my God! Isn't it true? Being a the tradition of Jewish audiences, and I use the Catskills as an example.
I just did three of those in the Catskills.
Not the way it used to be, but back in the day, I mean, traditionally Jewish audiences were. A great way to test your stuff
because
they were very difficult audiences. But if you hit on something, they're fantastic.
They're
right?
amazing. But sometimes mm-hmm. they're too old to laugh, and sometimes they're too rich. Like I'll say, you're too rich to laugh. You literally have too much money to laugh. You are entitled. You're ungrateful, and you're miserable. You are a miserable person, and you should have just gone bowling. Like you should have done something else than gone to a comedy show. You're a miserable. I'm like, there's people dying everywhere, and you are a miserable person. You're like, they're the kind of people that call the housekeeper the girl. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
The girl's coming. The girl. I'm like, the girl is 65 and owns a home. She's not a girl.
You said it, the word. I love the word. Entitled, you
They're
said that.
And it makes me sick. Yeah, I can't. That's my least favorite kind of person is an entitled person. I hate them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate them.
There was a line down here, and because really it's not exclusive to the East Coast of Florida and Jewish audiences, you know, people that come to South Florida and get away from the angry political end of things, which has exploded down here. There's an article in Vanity Fair, a great article. I wish I had the author's name, about how Florida has transformed. You've got, when you use the word entitled, there's a line I used to use that it was, you know, and somebody did it, was based in politics. I use it all the time now. If somebody is really going, yeah, I don't understand that, and we could have gone over here too. They usually have warm butter. I don't know why they put the cold butter out there. And I say, you know, the line is, what don't you have? What don't you have?
Yeah.
And it applies. The anger, it's hard to understand when you're talking about. Because, look, you hear about senior citizens on the national news that you hear about the people that have it in a very rough way where they are struggling. Mm-hmm. And there is tons of it down here. There's tons of elderly poverty down here. There is. And they need help. But I'm talking about a group of people that have been successful most of their lives exploiting other people for their own wealth. And then they come down here. That was a little joke, but I guess I
didn't. It's true, though, because
well.
I'm taking it
Hold
seriously.
On. I'm going to pull a Jessica. I was trying to be like our guest because I'm needy too. I'm having a very bad day.
Good job.
I'm sorry.
That's
thank you.
That's perfect.
That's it.
Good for
but
you.
But they don't. You wonder sometimes. You're like, why are you that pissed off?
Yeah.
And the only thing, and I'm 62, so I'm getting to that point, and I'm not a jolly guy. I haven't been jolly since 20. No, I haven't been jolly ever in my life.
No, I think, weren't you jolly in college?
I was drunk in college. That doesn't count as
We're
being
very
jolly.
Much alike. You and I have a lot in common. I have never been.
I've never been jolly.
Never. I've never been jolly. Never. I've
jolliness.
Never once felt like if someone said, how are you? I have never once said, great. Like, I've never been great. Ever.
And when you feel, let me see if we're similar this way.
Okay.
And when you have the moments, which you by and large keep to yourself.
Yeah.
And it would be killing on stage.
Yeah.
I mean, really just having an amazing set on stage. At least I do. When we have a great show or we're doing a live event and there's something great that happens, I am filled with a little bit of dread.
Of course,
because
I feel sad.
Because something else is going to happen now.
Sad.
So effed up. Oh, God.
I sold out City Winery in New York three nights ago.
Uh-huh.
Like standing ovation. And I feel like I was going to cry. But it wasn't a happy cry. It's like, please sit down. Please stop clapping. I need to find chips. Like, it was so uncomfortable.
It's so bad. It's such a bad way to be. Oh, my God. What's wrong? Has your mother given you any insight over the years?
Oh, my God. Has she ever not? Like, that's why I'm messed up. Like, I'm her
client. Love to hear that. I'd love to hear, like, a paragraph or two of, you know, of your mom's analysis of you.
Oh, God. We got it. One time, you should have my mom on with me. She is so charismatic.
I'd love to.
She's amazing.
Oh, I would love to. And could I steal her for a little me time?
Yes. She'll totally
please.
Do work with you. She's the
please.
Best.
Mike O'Mara's podcast for one.
Oh, she's God. The best.
Absolutely.
She'll talk to you. We'll zoom her.
Yes.
She zooms. Zoom her in.
God,
Elaine
yes.
Braff. She's
yes.
amazing.
So what did she say? What would be her synopsis?
You feel uncomfortable getting compliments. You can't take it in. You need
right.
to let yourself take it in and feel good. You don't feel you don't let it in, Jesse. Like, that's what you would say to me. That I it's time. It's time you let in the good. Like, she would just, you know, I sabotage it. I harm myself. I need to start feeling good. I'm older now. It's enough already. Like, she would just do that whole thing with me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But you have a good relationship with your mom.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We have a very good relationship.
Is she ever jolly? Cool.
My mother is the happiest person you will ever meet in your entire life. She's a Reiki master.
Oh,
she works out every day. She plays pickleball every day. She is in her mid, I'm not going to say her age, but she looks like she's 60.
Wow.
She's hot. She's beautiful. And she's always happy. She taps herself and like she does that tapping and eye movement stuff with her clients. She was in Est my whole life. Remember Est?
Yeah.
Oh, she is like a hippie, like total what you would picture. Like remember the Fockers? Like she and my stepfather ran couples courses out of the house.
Oh no.
My stepfather was my stepbrother is Zach Braff. From Scrubs.
Okay, that's right. The wonderful actor.
So his father was a lawyer and then became a quote-unquote therapist with my mother, and they ran couples courses out of the house. It's hysterical.
Oh, wow. what a great world to come from.
It's amazing.
There.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's great to be able to lean on that. But, you know, I had a great mom, too, who was very, very effusive and very supportive. Now, the thing is, the extended family that I come from, you know, you walk into a room, I could be on a secret mission where my life was in danger and I went away for 5 years, and I would walk into a room of my sister and my cousins, and you know, it would have been in the New York Times on the front page, Mike O'Mara survives most dangerous clandestine meeting, and I would walk into the living room and they would say, "Hello, Michael." That would be the greeting.
Which is not only dismissive, but the fact that you hate being called Michael. So
it's where it comes from.
Yeah.
It's where it comes from.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's just that's what did it. Mom, God rest her soul, she's no longer there. I really feel like I'm doing therapy.
Was it your first mother-in-law that said that you should be more like Burt Parks?
So one of my marriages, Jessica, real quickly, I'm sorry, and I'm sorry I'm making it about me. I'm having a day.
I'm glad you're making it about you.
I'm not going to make it. Hold on. It's JessicaKearson.com. Jessica is going to be all weekend at the legendary DC Improv. Info and tics at JessicaKearson.com. Can they go to improv too?
DCImprov.com.
DCImprov.com as well.
Immediately. You need to come to the show.
Please come to the show.
Everyone needs to laugh.
Yes.
It is a guarantee. By the way,
yes.
I don't want to put any extra pressure on you. She is funny. She knows how to do this. Where were we? I'm sorry. Before I was talking
story.
About the Burt Parks
story.
One of my marriages. woman I was married to was followed, literally followed around by her mother and father. They rented a trailer. They lived in different areas. When I go away on a vacation, they would travel around. They were very close all the time. Yeah,
not
all the time, but enough. And we are sitting in the RV. One night, the trailer, and we're watching This America. And
I never knew this happened in a mobile vehicle.
This is great.
This is a new layer.
New layer.
And by the way, I shouldn't say this, but I will.
Okay.
The mother-in-law was of distant German extraction.
Mm. Oh, boy.
And maybe a little Polish thrown in there with that.
Oh,
and,
it's a good mix.
We had a nickname for her. I shouldn't say this, but I'm showing off. Well, you're close. We called her the WC.
Uh-huh.
The war criminal. And Burt Parks finished the singing, and she goes, Mike, you should do that. He's got a good job. And this is one of my first, when I was working programming a radio station in
Burt
the area.
Parks.
He's got a good job. But they're not around anymore, so that's it.
And neither is Burt Parks.
It was Burt Parks. That's how old I am, too. It's wonderful. All right. Well, listen, Jessica, I sorry about the whole running down the hallway. We did the best we could.
It's okay. I pulled something, but
better.
It's fine. I pulled my cat. It's totally fine.
Are there tickets for tonight's show Thursday? I know we stream this live as well, because I'll definitely go tonight.
I would love you to come to the show tonight.
Fantastic.
Yes, awesome. There's shows for all the shows. There's
great.
Tickets for all the shows. Come out. I appeal to men, women. I do characters. I do all kinds of things. I'll surprise you guys. You don't know what to expect.
You do kill. I can't wait.
Thank
you.
You
know what I love is she's silly, but silly with an edge.
I'm very edgy.
But I love
it. Silly too, yes.
You're wonderful. And I love the idea. Please, the next time you come on this show, bring your mom, and we will do some more therapy. We can do a little bit of therapy for everybody. You know,
yes. Because, she loves doing that with me on shows. She's come
God
on a lot
bless
of shows
you.
With me.
Sorry for being so angst-ridden, but
no,
I can't help
I
myself.
I love you. You're
it's
so
real.
Good.
God bless
You're
you.
So
God bless
aware.
You. Thank you. I'm going to leave it on that. Nothing like going to break with a compliment. I love that.
Turn your microphone off.
Don't care about the guests. It's all about me. Anyway, we'll take a break. Come back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show. Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you.
The Beach Boys.
Today in rock and roll a-hole history.
How did it come to this? Me, Murray Wilson, the father and manager of the Beach Boys, fired by my own flesh and blood.
The Beach Boys fire you right now. Now, you're fired.
Quit screaming and start singing from your hearts, huh? Watch your ooze. So you're big stars. Let's fight, huh?
Two facts are irrefutable. Rob's digital audio dumpster vault is pure comedy gold. And Beach Boys patriarch Murray Wilson was a huge dick.
I made you and the Beach Boys. You'd be nothing without me.
You dick!
I'm a genius too, you know!
Listen to Rob's Pet Sounds every day on the Mike O'Mara Show and F*** Murray Wilson.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This portion of the show is brought to you by Nutrafol. When it comes to thinning hair, you no longer have to choose between natural remedies and those that work. There's a holistic solution for men that promotes both healthier hair and whole body wellness without drugs or prescriptions. Did you know that there are five root causes of thinning hair? Nutrafol is the hair supplement that goes beyond genetics to target stress, hormones, nutrition, metabolism, and environmental factors that may be impacting your hair. What do you think of that? Nutrafol is clinically shown to improve hair growth, thickness, and visible scalp coverage without compromise. 21 potent natural ingredients also support sex drive, better sleep, and less stress. In a clinical study, men showed progressive improvement in hair growth and thickness after 3 and 6 months. Nutrafol is also trusted and recommended by more than 1,500 top doctors. Healthier hair and support our show. You can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show.
Yes.
Yes. By going to Nutrafol.com and entering the promo code TMOS to save $15 off your first month subscription. This is their best offer anywhere, and it's only available to U.S. customers for a limited time. Plus, free shipping on every order. Get $15 off at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code TMOS.
Welcome aboard, new client.
Welcome aboard.
That.
Glad to have you here, everybody.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
Yes, it is, ladies and gentlemen. We didn't get a chance to talk about this yet, but I do want to do that.
Okay.
Jeopardy announced yesterday its permanent hosts.
Yes.
And we've said all along, I just thought this was a big scam. I thought the whole guest host thing, this has been preordained in
of
my
course.
Whole opinion.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
I don't know why I'm getting so into it. I don't know why I'm getting so ramped up about it.
Well, you love the show.
I love the show and it pisses me off. I didn't like the guy. I didn't like the backstory. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the bad press that he's gotten. So they got two hosts. They got the real gig. There are no two hosts. This
right.
job was hijacked from the very beginning by a guy named Mike Richards.
Yeah. He's not his real name, I bet.
Yeah, he's the main host. He will do the regular syndicated show.
That's the job.
Yeah.
Mayim Bialik from The Big Bang Theory will host primetime specials and spinoffs for ABC.
Blossom. That bothers me, too, because what they've
done
there.
Yeah, because they're using it. They're using her.
They're springboarding it into something else. And you know what? Jeopardy is not a primetime show. Jeopardy is a show that you watch at 7 o'clock or 7:30.
Right.
Check your local listings. They're watering the product is what they're doing.
Do you think he was cheaper?
I guarantee he was cheaper.
Well, he can be cheaper because he's executive producer, so he makes the money on the back end.
Well, yeah. Doesn't he make money on both ends?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like the owner of the radio station doing the gig.
That's right.
Damn it.
According to an official statement. This is it. This is coming from him.
Steve Bridges should play on the Jeopardy host.
Oh, I'd love that.
Potent potables for 200.
Oh, my God. Mike is a unique talent coming from Mike.
Oh, God.
At ease behind the podium and a double threat as producer and host. Mayim is a wonderful...
By the way, a producer is not a threat. A singer is a threat. A dancer is a threat. A producer is an a-hole.
Right. Mayim has a wonderful energy and great wit.
Yeah,
no, it's an innate sense of the game and an authentic curiosity that naturally represents the Jeopardy brand. This is... that statement right there is as corporate
yep.
BS as you will get. I'm mad at this.
Will you boycott? Will you boycott?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I don't want to. I might be curious to look in and see how he does and see if I can remember why I don't like him. But he's there, by the way. He ain't going anywhere. This is locked in.
And I'm curious, do you think when people start dropping off the Jeopardy train, will it affect Wheel? Because people watch them as a unit.
Well, you know, they'll be having a host search soon, too.
Aren't they all haircuts at the end of the day?
Yeah, they're all they're haircuts. They're haircuts.
That's right. I won on Wheel of Fortune, and I won a shovel.
All right, I got to hustle through this because we're running late.
We are.
The quote says, "We're excited to work with them both, and we are confident that they will carry on." Well, I don't know who's writing this, but it's the poobahs that
I think it's coming from the executive producer. Yeah. No, it was written by Johnny Gilbert.
Johnny Gilbert speaking. You can count Beyonce as a believer in CBD. In fact, the superstar singer is building her own hemp and honey farm. Let me tell you about it. All right.
I'm
hemp. I'm honey.
The jobs website Zipia.
I've heard of
Zipia.
Yeah.
Zipia.com posted a list of the careers you are more likely to gravitate toward depending on the month you were born. Everybody will be interested in this.
Oh.
It's all backed by stats, but some of these things aren't really jobs, are they? Well, here's what it says. January. If you were born in January, that is a month that has lots of debt collectors and doctors.
Elvis was born in January.
Okay. February, artists and traffic cops.
My grandmother was born in February, and she was neither. Okay. Yeah.
March.
That's me.
You boys,
me
both
too.
Of you.
Me too.
Pilots and musicians. Well, that's artists. Yeah. You know, I mean.
We are like working without a net here.
Yeah, and I do love my tuba.
April, dictators.
Ah, cousin Wes.
Adolf Hitler, Saddam Hussein, and Vladimir Lenin were all April babies. In May, politicians. June, my month.
Yes.
CEOs.
Ooh.
And Nobel Prize winners.
Look at you.
Hey. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Those might be the best ones on the list. July, bricklayers and train drivers. August, bricklayers again.
Why bricklayers and also train drivers is not really a thing anymore, is it?
No. I'm wondering now about the list. And bricklayers. What is this, 1920?
That's right.
I'm wondering. September, athletes and physicists. October, not a job, but you're more likely to live to be 100 years old. I don't know what that means, but that's it. November, serial killers and schizophrenics.
Excellent.
I know.
That's my father.
Brutal.
Again, not jobs. And December is the month of dentists.
Oh, look at that.
The month of
dentists. Well, they take
off
most of December.
That's true.
Isn't that?
Good for you, Julia. You're going to be a dentist.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, folks, years ago, I don't know how many years it was. Rob would probably remember better than I would, but we did a really great practical joke for April Fool's, which was Tats for Tots, where I pretended to have a child come into the studio and get a tattoo.
I believe
thinking at the time.
2008, yes. About 2008.
I thought at the time it was, you know, I still think it's one of the greatest practical jokes we did because of its absolute horrific nature, and it would get people so wound up. But I forgot that we now live in the Brondo generation.
Yes.
We now live, you know, with electrolytes. An idiot in South Carolina was arrested on Tuesday after giving a tattoo to a child in the middle of a McDonald's restaurant.
Oh, no.
Oh.
The tattoo happened on Friday, then someone posted a video of it, and cops got involved. Not clear how old the kid was, but it looks like a teenager. The tattoo artist is 28-year-old Brandon Prescia. He's facing charges for tattooing a minor and tattooing without a license. He's also on probation for assault and battery. Back in December, he got sentenced to 3 years in jail for it, but a judge suspended his sentence and gave him 2 years probation. How'd that work out, Judge?
Pretty good.
Good call
Pretty
on that
good.
One.
Yeah.
The illegal tattoo likely violated that probation, so he's probably going away for a while. So
I heard the teenager is going to grow up to be a bricklayer.
A bricklayer, yes, right. Or a dictator. TikTok. A crew assisting with demolishing a 115-year-old Seattle church to make way for affordable housing.
Uh-oh.
That's the sound of them demolishing the church.
It is.
They found an unknown time capsule hidden behind the cornerstone.
Ooh.
This company's called Earthwise Architectural Salvage. They were removing the stained glass windows and other valuable items from the German Evangelical Church before it was demolished. Turn that music down just a little
bit. Sure.
Listen to this. Inside the box was a metal sphere. And in the video, and I watched the video, it appears to have... They can do a lot of crazy stuff. It had an electrical glow to it, ooh, some sort of a little glow. The sphere was wrapped in an unknown material with strange symbols on it. Also included in the box was what appeared to be a pencil sketch of a strange geometrical figure and seven tiny identical yellow crystals.
Wow.
That's creepy. That's creepy.
It's got goosebumps.
It's also bullshit. The box contains some items, including a German language literature publication and the evangelical
Did you make up those science fiction ingredients?
Yeah, I did.
Great job. The seven identical crystals.
Yeah, how's that possible?
Yeah.
Not in nature.
Had a letter written by the bishop. That's all. That's all the real box had. It was. I got to that story. I saw, you know, they find a time capsule. I get all excited. It was a horrible time capsule.
Well, no wonder people forgot about it. No one wanted to see a letter from the bishop.
The letter from the bishop and some church newspapers. Come on. You know, not even like a comb or something like that. You know, give me a break. And now a little something, something. Cops in Oklahoma City were transporting a guy named Lucas Strider to jail on Tuesday.
Strider.
Lucas was booked for stealing catalytic converters off people's cars. Don't laugh. They got a lot of that down here.
I know.
It happens all the time in the city. I know.
It's a funny car part to steal.
Well, he managed, old Lucas did, to open a cop car door and ran into the woods. Then he found a four-wheeler and he stole it.
Oh.
Cops chased him as he blew through stop signs and hit speeds of over 70 miles an hour. And he did this all while he was handcuffed.
Nice.
A local news station covered it live, and one anchor was amazed that four-wheelers can even go that fast.
I'm here.
He did. He eventually got to a spot where the paved road turned into a dirt road. A cop was parked in the middle blocking him, so he tried to go around their car and crashed into a big mud puddle. So remember, kids, when you're going to jail, you might as well make it fun. Really? Who doesn't want to splash around in a mud puddle if they don't have anywhere else to go? Don't have to worry about work the next day. Go for it, people.
Make it fun.
We'll take a little break. When we come back, can we get a health report? And an update? Because I got lots of questions.
I got answers.
About your 14-hour procedure. We'll be right back.
The Mike O'Mara Show.
Probably have a couple beers.
TMOS.
2, 3, 4.
A full-bodied podcast.
Sometimes wine.
With earthy tones of pop culture and a bouquet of comedy, wit, and sarcasm.
Do you drink every night, Pony?
Yeah. I'll have a martini about 5 o'clock.
The Mike O'Mara Show.
Sometimes 4 to 6 beers.
A drinking show.
4 or 5 drinks.
With a radio problem.
How am I alive?
Watch the live feed weekdays at MikeO'MaraShow.com or download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. This portion of our program is brought to you by Relief Band. Oh, man, do I love Relief Band. Did you know 1 in 3 Americans suffer from nausea and all of them hate it?
It's true.
If you can relate, you've got to check out Relief Band. Relief Band is the number one FDA-cleared anti-nausea wristband that has been clinically proven to relieve and prevent nausea and vomiting associated with motion sickness, anxiety, migraines, hangovers.
Mike,
I have a friend, Mike O'Shmara, who used it for a hangover, and it really worked.
Remember a couple weeks ago when my kids took me to King's Dominion for Father's Day, a belated Father's Day present?
Yes.
I am now 50, and I can't do upside-down roller coasters anymore until I popped on my Relief Band.
Oh, look at you.
And I was upside down on the Anaconda, and it was sensational. I was like a kid again.
It works.
Yeah.
It takes care of sickness from hangovers, morning sickness, chemo, so much more. 100% drug-free, non-drowsy, zero side effects. The technology was originally developed over 20 years ago in hospitals. Relief Band stimulates a nerve in the wrist that travels to the part of the brain that controls nausea. Then it blocks the signal that your brain is sending to your stomach. So cool. I love this thing.
It's awesome. It really is
the only over-the-counter wearable device that's been used in hospitals and oncology clinics to treat nausea and vomiting. And if you know someone who suffers from nausea, it makes a great gift. You'll be a hero. As you're getting ready to take that summer road trip, hopping on the boat, or you're just anxious about heading back into the office, we've got good news. Right now, Relief Band has an exclusive offer just for TMOS listeners. If you go to reliefband.com and use promo code TMOS, you'll receive 20% off, plus free shipping and a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee. So head to reliefband.com and use our promo code TMOS for 20% off plus free shipping. Okay, we got to kind of set it up here because we are a full break behind on the show.
Can we just so we don't rush through this, because I know that's
yes.
Can we just push the dumpster to some other time, just so we can discuss this properly?
We can do whatever you want to do. Yeah, we can do it. We've got a full break after to deal with this.
Let's set it up first.
Yes. Rob calls me last night. Rob was off the show because Carrie was having a medical procedure.
We find out last week that Rob needed a day. He wanted a contracted day, and then we said you have to take the day off because it's a surgery,
right?
Because you had a back and forth with Carrie. If you listen to the show,
right?
Yesterday was the day of the surgery, and we had no idea of like when the surgery started or what happened or what's going on.
And also, there's an added thing. I was not aware that there was also a small lift involved, so it was not just the nose.
What do you mean a small lift?
They pulled her face up a little bit.
She had a facelift.
There was a facelift involved, her neck and her cheek. Yeah. So,
what do you mean you were not aware?
Because she was going through all of the procedures that she was going to maybe get, maybe not get,
Let's stop.
I knew when going into it, I knew that she was going to have her nose job. I knew that she was going to have her nose corrected with nodules and so she could breathe. But I know there had been discussion of a facelift. I didn't know she was getting the facelift as well. So that happened as well.
Do you engage in anything that is not like what your morning constitutional or what you're going to have for dinner at night?
But she was back and forth on it, and I didn't realize we were at a point where she was having that.
But you didn't press to find out exactly
what was it. Tell me more about the surgery.
Hold on. I gotta gather myself.
Yes, please.
Because I am just so curious. We have to. Rob called and said everything's fine. And then he called you, Oscar, later and said everything was fine. And then you mentioned to me late last night how long this procedure was.
This is what happened. And I apologize. I think we're all agasp of just shock and awe. Let me just be clear here before we continue down this road.
Right.
She's great. She's at home. She's recovering.
Right.
Okay, good. So yesterday, midday,
she's lost her vision.
Yesterday, midday, I call Rob. I'm just checking in on you, making sure everything's cool.
You're very nice to do that.
Everything's cool. Everything's going great. The doctor's stopped by. He's fine. This is midday, yesterday, Wednesday. We're recording this on Thursday. And if we're going by the date, yesterday was the 14th? No, the 12th?
The 11th. Today's the 12th. It was on the 11th, yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, that's fine. No detail. But, you know, who wants to get into detail? I just want to make sure that everybody's okay. 4 hours later, I call Rob, roughly around 5 o'clock, almost dinner time. I say, Rob, how's she doing? Is she home? Everything okay? What's going on? He goes, the doctor says everything's fine. It's going a little longer than it
you
was
don't
supposed
know,
to.
You don't know the half of it. Well, at that point, me, I haven't even me, talked
me,
to the doctor.
Let me continue. Let me just get through this, all right? This is what I'm getting from Rob, what's being intimated to me. It's not verbatim, but it's taking a little longer than usual. I hang up and I call Rob back. I was like, Rob, what time did the surgery start? And he said, 9 a.m. And I said,
9 o'clock in the morning.
I said, 9 o'clock in the morning. I said, oh, my God, this is just supposed to be a nose job. I don't know if they're supposed to take that long. He said, the doctors assured me everything's fine.
Wait a minute. How long did the whole procedure take? Before, without any detail, I want a number. How long did the procedure take? Total.
Don't you think that'd be better revealed after the break?
Let's take a break. We will come back and find out. It's a great tease. Way to use your family for exploiting the show. That is very generous of you.
I was a visitor at the hospital.
Okay, that's good. There it is. We will take a break and come back with the odyssey that was this medical procedure.
And I had a great day. Just great.
We'll be right back, everybody.
Dennis Murphy hung around Pondville Media and tried to break into broadcasting, but his natural speech proved to be a huge obstacle. Then one day, he would later tell his biographer, the voice of God told him to take diction lessons, and his whole life changed.
Hark! I hear the cannons roar. Is it the king approaching?
I hear the cannons roar. Is it the king approaching?
Dennis practiced faithfully for many months, and through diligence and perseverance, it was only a question of time before he emerged a major f***ing star.
Good evening, and cheers to you all out there. Welcome to Murphy's Musings. I'm Dennis Murphy. Our broadcast is sponsored this evening by the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Frightfully witty, uncensored content every week. Click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com and purchase a subscription so you never miss a minute of the fun.
That is fantastic. There he is. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Brought to you by our wonderful friends at Cornerstone. When was the last time you refinanced? If it's been more than a year, you got to think about it. You really do. We should talk about how much money you could be saving. And look, it's something that I understand. It's not something people like to dwell on. But when you save that much money over that much time, it's something you should think about. Because of the stalled economy and the Delta variant, they pushed interest rates back down to the lowest levels in a year. If you throw in the double-digit appreciation, it's the perfect storm to take some cash out or simply refinance to a lower rate or term. You need to call the only company that I recommend, my friend Mark Livingstone and his team at Cornerstone First Financial. Cornerstone First is a direct lender, which means they have their own money, and they guarantee to meet or beat any competitor. At the end of the day, you go with the company you like, you trust, and the one that offers benefits, savings, and solutions. Cornerstone, we love them, and you're going to love them too. Send them a recent mortgage statement and instantly see how much money they can save you. Loan officers are working overtime to accommodate what is likely the last opportunity to take advantage of the lowest rates ever. Call your local licensed and ethical loan officer now. Cornerstone First Financial, 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Do it now. So, I will recap to say that we were aware that Carrie was having a nasal procedure to help her breathing, and they were also going to do a little cosmetic work to throw that in. Right. That's the last thing. I'm thinking, you know, for a normal procedure, I think if you looked it up, which we may have done last night in the O'Mara house, about an hour and a half.
They did add it. Now, they added in this facelift. Not a vicious facelift.
When did you know that she was getting
the night a before facelift? The surgery? It's because we were discussing what was going on, and I said, "Oh, so you decided on that? Okay," because that had been in play before, but I thought it had been discounted.
How does a doctor sell her up on? Hey, I'll fix your nose, but then I can upgrade your nose. But then
it's a lot of work.
Your face.
I think it has to, as they say, the lady has to be willing.
Okay.
What was the total time in surgery?
Surgery. I'll give you a full breakdown of the day later, but in surgery, by my clock, just over 13 hours.
Mm. Wow.
What?
And there's reasons. Now, here's the deal. I got there. We got up and we left and we got to the hospital at 6 because all procedures have to be done at the break of dawn, I suppose. And then they started to process.
Did that annoy you?
Yes.
You said that's what he cares about. Is that annoying?
Well, you know what? When they told me, because we were going in, they said this procedure is going to be roughly 8 hours. I said, well, I don't know why we need to be there.
Oh, so you knew it was going to be a long day.
I knew it was going to be a long day, but I didn't think it was going to be.
8 hours?
Did you know that? So when you told Carrie you were going to come do the show and then see her back in recovery, did you know she was going in for an 8-hour procedure?
I believe I did because I thought if we did the show a little early, I could be there before the procedure was done.
People can die in surgery.
You know, this was one of the most wonderful things. There was such a wonderful energy in the car on the way after we both rose at 5 to get to the hospital. And on the way, we're pulling into the hospital. She says, I'm just worried. I said, why? She says, you don't know any of the passwords or anything. And you know I want to be cremated, right? I said,
You think about that when you're going into the night. You think about that when you're going into the night.
I knew that. This I knew. So we get in and...
Well, you knew that there was a, that you have to...
No, I knew about the cremation part. I knew there's always a risk with surgery, but then I tend to be a glass half full type of
love, exciting and new.
Remember when her feelings were hurt because you were like, Well, I'll see you after the show. I'll
That's a stupid work. Question, Oscar. Of course I remember that.
Yep, but now it's understandable. She's not being difficult. It's an eight-hour surgery.
Right.
It's a long day in under the night. That's scary. That's a lot of anesthesia.
Terrifying.
So here's the deal. We go through. They process. We get her back there. It's about 8:30 now when they start, you know, giving her the final. Everyone comes by, asks her birthday, ask her name. The surgeon stops by. Yes, Mike?
I have a question.
Yeah.
So going into this surgery, you knew it was going to be an eight-hour surgery, which I always thought was like reserved for heart transplants or something like
that. That's what he estimated, 8 hours.
Did you or she ask at any point, why is it such a long surgery?
No, it was explained to her all through the whole thing that it was 8 hours to get all of this stuff done. But
why?
That's what it takes.
What was everything?
But it wasn't explained to you.
No. Well, I didn't go to any of the consults.
And you didn't.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
So as she's being wheeled out, they give her, you know, we go through all this stuff. She's going out at 9. I'm thinking I'll be, pick her up, what, about 4:30 or 5?
Mm-hmm.
Seems about right. They give her the push of propofol, and just as I start to see her eyes roll back in her head, she says the one thing that's most important to her. She says, validate your parking. And she's being wheeled into the operating theater. The doctor said, I hope you're not planning on staying for the entire day. I said, well, I had. And he said, well, that I highly recommend you don't do that in this age of COVID. We will be in touch with you.
Home.
Get out of here. I said, OK. Now, I did cheat a little bit. They have a big board where she's assigned a number and you can see where she is.
Yeah.
And so I waited until the procedure started before I actually left the hospital. And they said they're going to be in touch with us the whole time. And I got texts from an anonymous number that
was this a dangerous procedure?
No, it was not dangerous, I don't think. I mean,
was this but 8 hours seems to,
but
did you look it up online to see why it would be so long or anything like that?
Well, Mike, I did find out why it became a 13-hour procedure.
Overtime.
Well, no, 8 hours is long enough. I would be curious, why is it so long? Did you ever do a dive?
I never did a dive.
The man
on it.
Didn't know about the facelift till the night before. This man does not care.
Man cared enough to pay for it. So Jesus. What happened is we got the calls throughout the day, and the doctor didn't speak to because you get calls from the nurse. And they say, hi, is this Mr. Spiewak? I said, yes. Do you have a wife who's in surgery right now? Yes.
Are you running point on this?
Yeah, and I've got a text chain going out to a lot of people. They said, it's just going slower than we anticipated, but she's fine. We've not hit any complications that are troublesome whatsoever. I said, why is it taking a long time? They said, sometimes it just takes longer. And I said, and there's nothing to worry about. She said, nothing to worry about. I said, okay. So I got like four of those calls throughout the day. And then I guess the last of those was like 7:30.
Can I just jump in here?
Please.
I would say to a doctor, that's not an answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's not a
you're
doctor.
You're talking I'm 8, 9, 10, 11. You're talking.
I'm talking to a nurse.
You know,
you're talking
5 hours. You're almost doubling the amount of time she's under the knife.
The nurse says that the doctor will be in touch. The surgeon will be in touch with you shortly. He can't speak to you now. But everything is fine, and we're going to continue to keep you updated. Okay, fine.
Wow. How is she doing, by the way?
She is, well, I'll get to that.
Okay.
Just before we get to the, at this point, when you're asking these questions, friends are calling you, and I appreciate you not laying all this out on us on the phone, because we would worry as well.
Yeah.
So we do what we do here on the show, is we start getting concerned, but without letting the person know that we're concerned about them.
Yeah.
And Mike and I start texting, and I call Mike, and I'm like, hey, just let's be prepared if something happens. And I've called, you know, my brother and sister who are doctors, who are anesthesiologists as well. Like, how
it's about
long,
9 o'clock, right?
Yeah, how long should this procedure take? And they're letting me know. They're like, well, that's, you know, 8 hours. And so they're like, if there was a complication, and then I start thinking out loud, I'm like, oh, like maybe she got something else done and you guys don't know. And then I threw a text to Mike and I said, I think I know what the procedure is. And Mike, it's in your phone if you have your phone on you. I'm not sure. My last text to you.
Oh, he's setting up a joke here, Mike. So get ready.
All right, hold on.
Yeah, please. I didn't see a response back, so I just want to make sure you saw that. And then for the team text, I actually.
What did he say, Mike?
I can't repeat it on the air.
No, I wish you would.
He can bleep it out.
She definitely had a secondary procedure. My money is on 6 benefits of labiaplasty and vaginal rejuvenation. That's funny. You can leave that in. You can leave
that in. That's what she said.
Oh, my God. Oh, but dear God.
Finally, wow. Get a call at about 9:50-ish last night, and the nurse says, she's out of surgery. The doctor will call you shortly. She came through fine.
Oh, thank
God. I said, thank God. That's great. And at this point, I'm on the text chain saying, if she's going to need to recover out of anesthesia.
Were you out of your mind when it went over 8 hours?
Yes, I was. I had a really bad day yesterday.
Terrified.
And so the doctor calls, and I'm thinking at this point, and I sent out to the text chain, I say, I bet she's going to be kept overnight.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Were you really out of your mind?
Yeah, I was.
You don't seem to be fazed by it at all. You don't seem, you know, like you were. Yeah, you know, I just don't know. I mean, it's hard. You're not conveying that.
Did you know? Like, what does it tell for yourself? You're self-aware enough for that to say, I'm not comfortable.
I didn't eat yesterday.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And I was. Wow. Yeah, and also I was. I was having a hard time just staying focused. I tried to watch television. I tried to do things. I couldn't.
All right, so you were worried.
I was very worried. I was very worried.
You do love
and
it.
I didn't like not being on campus, mm-hmm. although there wouldn't have been any benefit for me being on
you
campus.
You would have just been in a boring hotel room. I mean, a lobby.
How are the kids?
Julia and Robert were keeping in touch via text. Mm-hmm. Julia had her whole day set aside to be home to receive mom, mm-hmm. and Robert was standing by as well. We were all standing by, ready
but
for her to come.
How did they
up.
Handle it? I'm saying.
I think they handled it better than me because they were getting.
Did she stay overnight?
Don't read ahead. I think the kids handled it better than me mm-hmm. because I told them that everything was fine, and I explained.
That's sweet.
I wanted to convey. Yeah. I didn't want to get them worked up.
You were telling everybody everything was going fine, and we all
and that's
believed
that's,
you.
That's what was being told to me.
All right, we have to take a break. Yeah, okay. We'll take a break, and we will come back and finish this odyssey. And you don't want me to read ahead.
Yeah,
I won't read ahead. Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right, we'll take a break, and we will come back with more. I usually say fun and thrills, but there's nothing fun about this.
No, but it's thrilling.
It's certainly thrilling. We'll be right back, everybody.
Checking in live from the deck of the Jack Tar.
Do you know that Pony has something peculiar and unexpected in his car at all times?
So I got an inflatable fishing kayak.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
I'm tired of that promo.
Oh, I love it.
Tired of that promo. Tired of it. Mad at him today. Anyway, sorry. This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show.
You're an inflatable producer.
I'm mad.
Is brought to you by Coinbase.
Yes.
You know. Cryptocurrency might feel like a super secret or exclusive club, but Coinbase believes that everyone everywhere should be able to get in the door. Whether you've been trading for years or you're just getting started, Coinbase can help. I love Coinbase. I think you're going to love it too. If you identify as crypto curious, Coinbase makes learning to buy and sell simple. Coinbase offers a trusted and easy to use platform to buy, sell, and spend cryptocurrency. Plus, they support the most popular digital currencies on the market and make them accessible to everyone. They offer portfolio management and protection, learning resources, and a mobile app so you can trade securely and monitor your crypto all in one place. Millions of people in over 100 countries trust Coinbase with their digital assets. Whether you're looking to diversify or just getting started, visit the website and check it out. It's a great time to get started. For a limited time, new users can get $5 in free Bitcoin when you sign up today at coinbase.com/TMOS. That's coinbase.com/TMOS for $5 in free Bitcoin. This offer is for a limited time only, so be sure to sign up today. That's coinbase.com/TMOS, and thank you, Coinbase, for sponsoring our show. When last we checked in, we found out that the procedure actually for Carrie, that's a tough road.
Long day.
13 hours under the knife.
So
amazing.
The doctor calls me a little after 10. And
p.m.
Yeah, 10 p.m. And he says, everything went great. We'll have the follow-up tomorrow, but I just want you to know why it took so long. I said, why? He says, your wife has very delicate blood vessels. And during the procedure, there was more bleeding than we're accustomed to. And while she was never in danger, having to stay ahead of that bleeding slowed him down. And so he said... He said that it was never a problem and she's going to be great. He said he was delighted with the results. He said she is going to be ecstatic. I said, great. What should I do? He says, we're going to watch her for a little bit. Wait for the nurse to call you when she goes into recovery. I know you live about 45 minutes away from the hospital. She'll tell you when to leave. Mm. And I said, great. So I go upstairs and I make myself a sandwich. because I hadn't eaten and I was hungry. And when I heard that she was out of surgery, I'm like, this is great.
Sweet relief. Okay. I can imagine.
So I get at 10:45, the nurse calls and says she's in recovery. Her oxygen level is medium to good. It's improving. Now would be a great time for you to leave. Come to the surgery center at Fairfax Hospital. So, okay. So it's the same place I was 15 hours earlier. So I drive there, go in, go to park, realize that Julia has my bank card, so I have no way to get out of the parking deck when I leave. Oh. But I'll deal with that later. Mm. I go up, go through the security, wave my hand to make the magic door open, and I get into the waiting room where I was told to go, and the waiting room is dark, save for a television and one elderly Asian man. There is nobody in there. And I just say, well, I suppose someone will come shortly. And so I sit and I wait, and I wait, and I wait, and I wait.
In a dark room?
In a dark room, because all the lights are dimmed because it's overnight in a hospital waiting room. There's a television on, and I look at it, and what it is.
Could you walk down a hallway to get to anybody else?
Well, the problem is that it's one of those doors that it says, you know, physicians have to hit this button for the doors to open, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure I belong back in that OR-type area. So I'm giving it a little bit of a wait. I'm looking at the television. They have it muted but not closed captioned, so I'm wondering, what are the jokes that Sarah Silverman are telling right now? I'd like to know, but I can't tell it, so finally I go and I hit the button and the doors open and there's a nurse and I say, hi, I was told to come here to pick up my wife and there's no one out there. She says, oh, okay, let me see what I can do. Wait right here. And she's gone.
Yes.
And so 2 or 3 minutes pass and another nurse comes and she says, why are you waiting here? I said, I was told to wait here. And she says, why are you waiting here and being told to wait here? I said, I'm trying to pick my wife up. She says, oh, we can take care of that. Come with me. And I said, I was told to wait here by a nurse. She says, doesn't matter. I outrank her. Come with me.
Oh.
So, well,
yeah, the better nurse is obviously helping you more.
Exactly. So I find myself to the better nurse.
Did the other idiot nurse ever show up?
I saw her later and she waved. She says, oh, you found your way. I said,
yeah.
Awesome.
Okay.
Sorry. So
I'm sorry about the idiot nurse comment. They're heroes. I apologize.
Smart nurse takes me to the right place, and they say,
I'm getting more frustrated right now by this.
I'm feeling for our boy here. You have to live through it.
So they take me to where I'm supposed to go, and the nurse that told me where I was supposed to go originally on the phone says, oh, yeah, just go back to the waiting room. We'll come get you when it's time. So I'm back to the dark waiting room now.
Oh, my God.
And so I'm sitting there, and the doctor calls, and he says, we're a little worried about her oxygen levels. It is now after 11:30.
Oh, boy.
God.
And he says, I'm not so sure we should send her home tonight.
Yeah, and you think?
And I said, I'm here, and I agree with you. He says, I realize it's inconvenient for you to be out this late at night for you to not pick up your wife. I said, yeah, it is inconvenient. And I said, would it be possible for me to...
Did you mean that?
Yes. Well, I mean, in a most sarcastic way. I mean, of course. He said...
All right, no, it's just you. This is the real you.
I mean, seriously. I mean, when I said at 10 o'clock or 9:30, they're probably going to keep her overnight, and then they called me and says, the time to leave is now. Now is the time to leave. I said, okay. And I said to the doctor, who I don't have any ill feelings towards because he's great, I said, do you think I could see her before I go? He says, absolutely.
Oh, that's sweet.
So I'll call the nurse and the nurse will call you back. I said, good. So another 15 minutes passes and the nurse says, hey, we got a room for her. This is going to be easy. Wait, I will come get you in a little bit and I will tell you how to find her. Okay. Another half hour passes.
Oh, my God.
She gives me the directions. I find my way to the room. I sit in the room 15 minutes. By the time I see my wife, it is 1:45.
Oh.
In the morning.
Jesus.
When did they call you to say, what time did they call you to say, come pick her up?
10:40, which is late, but you know what?
Rob, I love you. I'm sorry, man.
That stinks.
How are you doing, man?
How did you pay for parking?
I asked to have it comped.
Good.
So they did. But man, it was absolute suck.
How is your wife doing?
She comes out and she looks like she has been put in a blender, but she's doing okay. The nurses took care of her. And then she has her... I said, okay, listen, I visit with her a little bit. She walks me through. She doesn't remember anything of the day. She barely remembers last night, this morning, when I'm asking her about when we visited last night. But Julia was there to get her. She was discharged just after 9 o'clock and went straight to the surgeon's office for her consult and follow-up. Everything is fine. But then another thing is revealed that's pretty amazing is that apparently because of the way her nose was worn or has been for all these years, the cartilage cracked when he was working on it. He had to reconstruct her nose using cartilage from the rest of her head. Wow. So that's another reason the procedure went so long. But again, he's ecstatic with the results. She's home. She is fine. And she will be healing for a week and a half or so. But it was really one of the most dramatic roller coaster days.
Jeez.
Because what happens is when all is said and done, it was a good ending for it, but it took forever to get there.
Can I give you an unsolicited piece of advice?
Yes.
Please have someone check her out besides this guy.
Okay.
Have somebody else. Just take a look.
Second opinion.
Just take a read of her day and do that.
I will.
That does not, and Oscar, maybe you could call and find out a little bit.
Absolutely.
Just to find out. I'm not throwing anybody under the bus.
No.
I don't doubt for a second that everything he's telling me is on the up. It just sounds to me a little hinky.
It was a long day. I think
a lot of hinky.
And I think some things went wrong that were unexpected. And it's a better safe than sorry situation. After I had been there past midnight last night, I was praying they weren't going to send her home. Because I said, if they haven't released her yet, there's something they're watching. And it turns out...
Well, and also, it's the middle of the night now. Yeah. Let her rest in a hospital with low oxygen levels.
Well, actually, I was able to watch her oxygen levels increase as I visited with her. And he said, that is not uncommon, and I got this verified by the nurse. He said, she was under for over 12 hours. It takes a while for the body to recalibrate and breathe again.
Yeah.
So it was... I do love her so much, and it was heartbreaking that she had to go through that. I know this was a...
Is she sore as hell today?
She hurts today.
Yeah, it's going to be a
really
while.
Bad,
That recovers a long time.
But she got home safely. Julia is an angel and got
She wrapped in gauze and stuff like that?
Yeah, some of the gauze came off at the office this morning, but it almost looked like a turban last night. It's all wrapped up. Right. And without getting too graphic, there's two drains. And
I had a deviated septum. I went through that surgery.
Yeah. So it was a harrowing day.
He was working on her face, did he have the picture of Jennifer Love Hewitt up next to the surgical table when he was doing that? I'm just kind of curious about that.
When she takes it all off. It takes time.
Yeah. I'm really, really glad yesterday was over. And as I was thinking on the way home, it's like, I'm glad they're keeping her. I'm glad they're being safe. I'm glad they're watching her. I'm glad they're making her comfortable. But I'm very ready for this day itself just to be over, because it was almost a 24-hour day.
Yeah.
It was before 5 till well after 2.
And you're a better man than I am in a situation like that. There would have been yelling. I would have been pissed.
Also,
I would have been pissed. And I think the surgeon should have let you know what was going on.
Isn't it
all
something
day
that, like,
with that cartilage stuff? He shouldn't have waited.
Don't you want some buy-in into these type of decisions? Because this is major surgery, right? Maybe just start with the nose and go back later if that worked out. Like, that's a lot of surgery.
Well,
time.
We like American Pickers. We chose to bundle it.
Got it.
Yeah, save a little money.
Yeah, that's great. You bundle it. And she's home now?
She's home now. And Julia
she
said
eating cake?
She said to me last night, she said, doctor told me I have no eating restrictions. I said, have you ever?
Oh, God. Wow. Oh, my God. What an ordeal. Look at him, folks. Round of applause for our boy,
baby.
Rob.
Can you imagine the last time Carrie spent 13 hours in a row asleep?
Wow. That's amazing.
All right. Those are all the jokes I've written. I love you, Carrie.
Thank you.
Yeah. We want to thank Jessica Kirsten. She will be all weekend long at the legendary DC Improv. Tonight, Friday, and Saturday. Not sure if the shows are sold out for tonight, but I'm sure you can get tickets for Friday and Saturday. You can get info at jessicakirsten.com or dcimprov.com. And Jessica is wonderful, and I mean that about. Come on with your mom on
we'll
a Zoom call.
And also, I'm going to get that. I've got to get an advanced copy of her prank call album.
Oh, that sounds absolutely hysterical. Well, hang in there. Carrie, we love you,
and I hope for
a speedy recovery for you. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I mean, she's not smart at all. I told her our kid is spoiled. She told me a lot of kids smell that way. This is stupid. You're like a crazy person. Why do you do this to your father and I?
But why did they use them to make Brando?
Because Brando's got extra legs.